Cody, Cody, are you here?
Ooh, get out of my bathhouse.
Your mom and your dad are here, ooh, and they just want to say something.
That's it. That's a gay spirit. That's
oh,
gay
God, spirit. I'm being outed.
Your mom and dad said it's okay. Go into the light, Carolyn.
Eat this.
No!
Out Loud Orlando, the homo happy hours.
It's good!
Und good for you.
Take two. For real, for fun, for everyone, you're listening to Out Loud Orlando, the Homo Happy Hour, the most unique radio show of its kind, heard every Tuesday, 91.5 FM, WPRK, streamed online and archived on our website, gayradioshow.com, and with the free TuneIn Radio app. And with the TuneIn Radio app, you can download that. You can search for WPRK and listen to the best in basement radio anytime you want to. Put your mic cord, your headphones fixed? Okay, cool. Yeah. I'm your host, DJ Justice, episode number 394, first show for the month of September. Give us a call, 407-646-2915. You can follow us on Twitter.
Twitter!
That's Twitter.
Twitter!
At Gay Radio Show, if you want to hit us up during the show. You can also do Facebook live stream chat. I'm calling shenanigans on Lady Bear. Oh, by the way, Cody's here. How you doing, Cody?
I'm good.
Dollar Menu Daddy Issues is back. How you doing, sir?
I'm back in the country, so yeah, I'm doing really well.
That's one of the three things I learned this week. I wanted to hear all about it. But first, I wanted to call Lady Bear Matthews. Where are you? Lady Bear Matthews, where are you?
She is in the restroom.
No, she needs, because I told her I was in such a good mood today. I'm like cloud nine high, good mood type stuff going
really?
On. And I think Lady Barry Matthews is like purposely trying to like sabotage the day.
I don't think that she is. Why are you in such a good mood though?
I think, you know what? Not everything has to be talked about on the radio. But in addition to finding out that I'm telepathic, it's a good day. Like good things are happening. And you know what? And only a few people will get this reference. Cody, my friend. I am the sun and I am the moon. There's nothing that is out of my realm of possibility of accomplishing. My potential is unlimited, but I'm the sun and the moon. But to keep from flying too high, I need solid ground in my life. And so I will say, when I have solid ground, you can expect the very best from David Nedberg Justice on Outlaw Orlando, Homo Happy Hour, because things are good.
So you bought a house?
No. Possessions don't have anything to do with it. Where is Lady Barry Matthews?
It's me, Lady Barry. I'm here to do.
Hold on,
she's gonna learn you something.
I'm gonna text her right. I'm interrupting the live stream to text her.
Oh God.
Okay, hold on. Where the F are you? Did your butthole
nice
fall?
Can you say butthole in the radio?
Out. Well, we just did. BH.
BH. We're gonna abbreviate butthole. I'm distraught.
For those of you that are watching the Facebook live stream, I just had to send a nasty text to Lady Barry Matthews. But anyway, so it is. It's a happy day, and I thank God for the weather. Ba-doop, ba-doop. It's a happy day.
I want to comment on that.
Did you ever do like happy inspirational, like you're so happy you have to sing a song?
No.
Like this flashes back to like my days of being like an avid churchgoer and, you know, participating in like mission trips and doing like vacation Bible school and like doing like the puppet ministry I've talked about. And I used to work a lot with special needs kids for several summers. For several summers, I worked with special needs kids, special adults and kids. So whether it was like developmental disability or physical disability. And I was a camp counselor at this one particular camp in Missouri. And they had all kinds of kids and their siblings come to kind of recreate the camp experience for kids that otherwise couldn't go to camp, whether you had like autism or, you know, mental retardation, or you had sickle cell anemia, or you had like you were autistic or a burn victim or had cancer, you know, all kinds of stuff. And so every morning they would have like the little kind of, you know, hey, keep your focus. And it was Christian based. So it was this worship team. And so every morning we got all the kids in the camp to sing that song about how happy it was to be here and how happy the day was. And they would always go around then and ask three random kids something they were thankful for. And then we would include that in the song. And I'll never forget the one summer I went and did it. This one particular day, they got like the best kids in the world. One kid's like, what are you thankful for? And the kid goes, my brother. And they go, what are you thankful for? And the kid goes, puppets. Because, you know, puppets were a big part of this whole, you know, children's ministry. And the other kid goes, what are you thankful for? And this kid had, like, severe autism, ASD, autism spectrum disorder. He just bust out with, my 1986 Hulk Hogan Thunder Mixer.
that.
Which is like, I guess, some kind of like handheld blender that you use to like mix your protein shake that was endorsed by Hulk Hogan. Blender? And so when you're singing the song, you have to go, it's a happy day, and I thank God for my brother, puppets, and my 1986 Hulk Hogan Thunder Mixer. It's a happy day. And again, because I'm living each day in the promises of God's word. And then you'd like, you'd throw up gang symbols, you know, to be like, it's a W for like God's word. What up?
Because we have to appeal to a younger generation about right. it, you know. Religion is backing up.
Right. So it's a happy day, and that's why it's good to be here. Lady Berry, where are you?
I'll message her on Facebook. But I do want to...
Where are you, Lady Berry?
I do want to make a comment on your weather comment.
Because she wants to ruin my good mood. That's what it is.
2 weeks ago, I made a promise to you before we got on air that if it ever rained again on my way here, that I would no longer do this radio show.
Did it rain?
Because
rain?
Let me finish my story. So I was extremely, because every single time I've ever come to this radio station, it has always rained, without a doubt. And I've always looked a hot mess walking in here, soaked up in water. She's back.
You just missed it. I was singing songs. I was giving you plenty of material to feed back on. Wouldn't have made sense to do it later in the show. You missed the song about the puppets. And the Hulk Hogan Thunder Mixer. And you missed the stories about how I used to work with, like, special retarded adults and all kinds of, like, you missed it.
We don't say that word.
I worked with them. You worked with developmentally disabled, we call them special friends.
There you go.
Special friends.
We work with our special friends.
You are one of my special friends.
I was going to say that.
So wait, are you purposely late because I was in such a good mood? Were you
That's exactly what happened.
Were you subconsciously, like, you know,
and
like,
I love
DJ,
Cody's impression of me, by the DJ way. You think I wasn't listening on the way here?
Lady Berry Matthews is like, DJ Justice is in such a good mood, and I'm in a crappy mood. I'm gonna poop all over his mood, and you just open your cheeks and poo-poo.
Open my cheeks.
You just go, da-doo.
I was like, this is so aggressive. My cheeks. Where's the poop coming out?
You just da-doo over my mood. Okay, so tell me what's what. Why were you late? You left.
I had to go to the bathroom.
It was a moment.
Do you have some Lady Berry issues?
I have some Dingleberry issues.
I'm upset.
Why are you upset?
I'm upset with that comment. This is throwing me for a loop this afternoon. This is the reason why the creative Metamucil, we're done.
Creative juices are flowing all over the place. Oh, real quick, to our Facebook live streamers, we do have an ongoing contest. I'm going to figure out some kind of prize or some kind of thing to give away in like a couple months. But anyone that takes a screenshot of the live stream video of the radio show, it could be the best picture of any one of us. It could be the worst picture. It could be the one split second that someone's, you know, like deep throating the microphone or whatever, you know, like you screenshot that and you send it to me and we're going to have a contest. Well, I got to put the mic on you, the camera on you first. Let me bring.
I know, right? Oh, yeah. Wow. We're really doing this.
Cody, why is the health department calling you?
The health department. They are? Right now? At this moment? That's upsetting. Yeah. I'm sharing your live stream real quick on my Facebook. Any face that you screen grab of me, I promise it'll be a gem. I'm extremely ugly in real time. I am only good
in
selfies.
You're expressive. That's what you say.
I'm expressive. Yeah. I prefer extremely ugly. It keeps me down to earth.
Let's jump into the three things that I learned this week, aside from the fact that I am in a great mood.
Goodness.
You apparently don't know how to count.
Yeah.
This is 5, 4, and then 5.
Hey, listen, you're not going to get this reference, but I'm thankful for puppets and my 1986 Hulk Hogan Thunder Mixer, so get off of it.
Have you ever seen that Oprah thing where she's like, my three favorite things, and she's holding it. It's like...
That's the Boy Scouts, what you're doing. That's like the on my honor, I will do my best to do my duty to just, please that bougie.
She could do the shocker.
Oh, yeah, no, she could. That would mix it up. That'd be really great for, you know.
Is she still doing a live show at all? Or I thought she just was doing...
No, she does, like, pre-recorded interviews. She's like
And
Barbara
she
Walters
gardens.
Now.
She gardens so much. She's always picking fruit and vegetables. She's like, look what I got in my garden. And her garden is literally like a friggin' jungle. Like, this is inhuman.
You're telling me that Oprah Winfrey, with all of the money that she makes, is she's dirtying herself to do
not,
the gardening?
How are you not following her on Instagram? She's obsessed with gardening.
I'm obviously
she's
not following
her. Like,
Lady
never...
Barry Matthews, are you following Oprah Winfrey
on
Instagram?
No, I'm not following Oprah Winfrey on Instagram.
I am not the only gay man in this city that is following Oprah Winfrey
wait.
Religiously on Instagram, watching her.
Is she a gay icon necessarily? I don't think of Oprah Winfrey as being like a gay icon. I don't think of her as being like...
Maybe.
She's a woman icon, and most of the gays in Orlando are women. So.
Maybe Gail is, but not Oprah. Gail. Just kidding.
Well, no, that, you know what? That's funny. That is funny how they've always had those allegations of more than, like, a friendship with their good old buddy Gail. But we don't, you know, we don't lump her into... See, I feel that the lesbians we know, they would be, like, talking about her a whole lot more if there really was something to that.
What?
If she really was, you know, muffin stuffins like that. Because I just don't think...
No, I disagree.
Maybe she can't find it.
I disagree. I don't think that the lesbians that we know would be in her inner circle. Exactly. Well, what lesbians do we know? Jodie Foster, Ellen Page, Dixie Chick. Well, no, they're not lesbians. No. Melissa Etheridge. But like,
you forgot Ellen DeGeneres.
Ellen DeGeneres.
Queen of
but
lesbians.
Do you think any of these people are hanging out with Oprah? No.
Ellen hangs out with Oprah.
I like to think.
Oprah's
I think,
a castle.
I like to think that Ellen and Oprah hang out. I think they do like, I mean, I don't think they garden together or anything, but I could imagine them bouncing up and down in like a bouncy fun house at least once. I think that's happened.
Once in their life. But you know,
I put
Ellen
money.
But it was just for
Oprah's
ratings.
Spot. Ellen took Oprah's time
oh,
slot.
Oh, definitely.
So they
oh, wait, so
had
is
like
there a, is there like a rivalry?
No.
It was given to her.
Is this like a celebrity death match, like Oprah versus Ellen for like?
I wish they would bring that show back.
Oh, that was such a good show.
Do you remember that?
Ellen DeGeneres was on Celebrity Deathmatch a lot. She was like
she
always,
was?
Yeah,
and she won a lot.
Yeah, she was always killing people on Celebrity Deathmatch. It's always the really sweet celebrities on Celebrity Deathmatch that always ended up winning, unless it was like Tara Reid and Lindsay Lohan, and they're like, which? Well, this could go either way,
right.
And then they'd both end up dying.
God, that was a good show. That was such a good show. I wish they would bring that back on VH1 Classic in the beginning of September. They turned VH1, or in the beginning of August, rather, they turned VH1 Classic into MTV Classic, where they're playing all the old MTV shows, like the very first season of The Real World in New York from like 92, episodes of Daria and Beavis and Butthead.
I hated Beavis and Butthead. I was horrified of Beavis and Butthead. Like, I still have nightmares.
I have a different appreciation for it now because I engage in different extracurricular activities that I didn't used to engage in when it was on.
Gotcha.
And now it freaks me out. Like, now in that situation, I really, like, I'm like, wow. Like, I could literally feel myself getting dumber because I was overthinking Beavis and Butthead. And I was like, I turned it off after 13 minutes because I said, this is literally what makes people's brains melt
oh, yeah.
out of their heads.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no. There was nothing intelligent about Beavis and Butthead. But, I mean, look at the TV that we're watching now. Have you ever turned on Adult Swim? Now you have, like, Tim and Eric, awesome show, great job, and, like, nobody knows what's going on there.
Right, so shows like that. Shows that didn't make you think. Like, all the kid shows now, that you have to learn
they're
something.
They're aggressively teaching you things.
There's some out there that just play to that adult mentality of just being kind of goofy for the sake of being goofy.
But yeah, all of our shows were like that. I mean, Rescue Rangers, Chip and Dale, you remember that? Didn't teach you anything.
All of Disney Afternoon.
Courage the Cowardly Dog did not have a message ever.
At all.
Ever.
It was just stupid.
Ever.
And I loved it.
It was always the old people getting stolen and him having to rescue them. There was no progression in that show whatsoever, and it was lovely.
So the first thing that I learned this week, I'm like a month and a half into being... let's go over my resume here. My grown-up job, attorney, radio show host, phone sex operator, occasional freelance writer for like magazines and websites, and Uber driver. So I'm about a month and a half into being an Uber driver, and I have like all my stars. Uber has become like a live-action video game. Do you remember that game Crazy Taxi?
Yeah.
It literally is like I'm driving around
Please tell me you're not Ubering like Crazy Taxi.
No.
you could hit and kill people in that game and nothing would happen. It's like Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah. But look, Uber is great. Like it's like gambling. Like you're driving around all of a sudden you're like blink, 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 blink. You get there and you're like, oh, you get so excited. You're like, click, click, click. And then you're like, quick, I got a race there. And then I'm an overly courteous Uber driver. So once I like click on the thing and click navigate and my GPS says, I automatically go and I text the person and I'm like, hey, it's your driver. I'll be there. 5 minutes, you know, so they know I'm on the way, so they don't hit cancel. And then I'm like, phew, I'm like driving to pick them up. And I tell you, I love doing it because I love going out and about. I'm not wasting time when I would otherwise be sitting home doing, you know, nothing, just wasting time, boom, snap, clapping, going hunting for Grindr or Pokemon. And so I pick the people up and I talk, like, and some people are very talkative and you learn something new, you get some good suggestions, places to go, books to read, things to check out. Some people are just like, they're all into their phones. So you're kind of like, okay, I'll just like respect your privacy. Those are the worst ones though.
Well, I don't know if you've ever checked my Facebook statuses about my Uber drivers, but I've had some catastrophic experiences with Uber drivers since moving to Orlando. Did you hear about the really aggressive talking man? What I don't want to like... say the end of the story, but I got an Uber and this guy was seemingly...
Why would you tell a story and not include the ending of the story?
Because this is how I call... I give him a certain name, but it's based on the ending. Never mind.
And then I got him deported.
Just listen. No, he wasn't. I think he was American. He sounded like he was. Anyway, so we were in the Uber and he was seemingly normal and he's like, yeah, I'm getting a new car next week. I was like, oh, that's exciting, because I think we can all agree that getting a new car is a relatively exciting experience.
No, I didn't like doing it.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway. So he was getting, I was like, that's great. Good job. And he was like, yeah, it's my 14th car in 9 years. I was like, wow, that's quite a bit of cars. Like, that's a little bit upsetting. And then he's like,
does your uncle work for a dealership? Hey, Greg, station manager. He'll hear that in 8 seconds. He is the best station manager. I tell you, I'm sorry to interrupt you. He has gone above and beyond, you know, for this show, for helping it, for acknowledging what the show does and what we do. And he is a heck of a station manager. And I am done kissing his butt now.
Oh, perfect. Anyway, so he's saying new car, et cetera. And I was like, he was like, yeah, I got a lot of commitment issues. It's actually a huge problem in my life. And I was like, oh, okay, all right. That's great. He's like, yeah, it's kind of what happens when you're adopted. And I was like, oh. Okay. He's like, are you adopted? And I was like, I don't really want to answer any of these questions, actually. Can you just take me to Southern, please, so I can get drunk?
Lady Bear, did you ever, like, use Uber in between riding a bus and getting a car?
The only time I ever rode the bus is when I came here. For the stick.
No. Lady Berry purposely used public transportation just so we could make a segment called Riding on the Bus with Lady Berry Matthews.
An Uber from Kissimmee to here was $45. I wasn't spending, when I can spend $4 to get here and back home.
Yeah.
So, but when I'd go to work, it was $9. So I'd take an Uber every day.
I feel like I don't really want to share my Ubering secrets that I've come to learn about, like, the best places. But I guess it doesn't really matter. Like, I live downtown. Mm-hmm. So downtown's El Primo on a Friday or Saturday night. The UCF area, lots of people doing Uber, that'll jump up all the time. And the one thing I've learned is that of all the Uber customers that I could have, the one that I don't understand at all, that I don't get at all, is drunk college girl.
Why?
Drunk college girl. Don't get it. Don't understand the humor.
It's so easy, though. I
don't know if it's because I don't know if they think I'm, like, creepy old guy, or if, like, so I don't know if I should, like, act more flamboyant when they get in the car so they can be like, oh, hey, he's gay. What's that? Because, like,
$5 tip.
It's okay, so I guess I can't get in trouble for talking about Uber on the air, can I? I mean, how are they really gonna track me down?
I don't know. It's so, Uber, but the government's watching anyway.
Last night was the FSU game playing at Campion World Stadium, formerly known as the Citrus Bowl. And so, you know, the whole area of Orlando was red. So if you're familiar with Uber, it's like, you know, double the prices. Surging, it's called. So it was like 2.7 times the normal rate. So if it's a $10 ride, you're gonna make like $25, $27 doing it. So it's a great time to make some quick money because everyone's, you know, funneling out of the stadium. And so I was taking a lot of people to the stadium as well. And so I don't like using this word, but I'll just use it for the story, and we're not going to keep repeating it. So one time in this word. So I picked up a bunch of drunk FSU people, and, you know, I can acknowledge that just the drunk frat boy is doing the drunk frat boy thing. And so the guy gets into the car and just, without even thinking, goes, hey, yeah, what's up, fag? And I was like, do I know you? Like, what's going on? And all of a sudden, his friends start chastising him. They don't know anything about me at this point. This is like, hi, welcome to my Uber. Like, that's as far as we've gotten. His friends start, like, chastising him. Like, why would you say that? Why would you do that? And he's like, I'm sorry, man. And then he kind of starts, like, overly apologizing. And then I was like, hey, man, it's okay. Like, I don't believe you said that word with hate. It's totally good. You know, we all say things. And, you know, I'm gay and I wasn't offended. He's like, you're gay? Oh, now the car's freaking out. They're laughing at their friend. Like, oh, you called the Uber driver the F word for gays. And they're like, so that's going on. So I'm trying to, like, really explain, like, no, listen, like, I'm not going to say I like the word, but I'm also going to say that I don't think you said it with, like, malice behind you. And and so then he keeps going on and on. And I was like, listen, dude, like, honestly, like, I'm thankful that you said that word, because now I have something to talk about on my gay radio show tomorrow. You host a radio show. Am I going to be on your... So shout out to the drunk FSU frat bros that I gave a ride to the Campion World Stadium yesterday, who made sure that I knew that they were okay okay with gay people, even though they're even though their drunk friend is quote unquote stupid, and whichever one of them took the selfie of all of us in the Uber, please post it hashtag gay radio show. I'd love to stay in touch because I took it as a learning opportunity. I think that too many times, you know, I'm not going to ever say I like that word. It's a horrible word. I don't like that. I think that derogatory slurs can ruin lives and careers and really affect people. But when it's painfully obvious that someone says it and you know it's not in a vein of hate, it's more kind of like a be cool, bro moment. Like just, hey, you know, maybe watch it. Instead of like, I'm offended. How dare you? I don't like, I believe we're too sensitive.
Some people don't react like that even when it is in a vein of hate. You know what I'm saying? Like, me, I'm just like, you're ignorant.
And if it's the full word and they're like, you effing F word for gays, and it's got like, you know, it's like the full letter with the T at the end of it, you know? It's like...
I mean, it offends me, but I don't, like, flip out. I'm like, that's your life that you're living with all that hate, and I don't have to do that, so...
Well, working retail in South Florida, I've had people thrown out of stores because of that. Like...
Really?
Yeah.
That's what you do. You just... You get them back in a different way. The more you flip out, the more you're giving that word fuel.
Never yell.
Exactly.
Never yell. Just very calmly call security.
You don't security anymore.
I need a sip of someone's drink here, because I finished all of my Coke Zero.
Finished my awful coffee.
It looked like sweet tea. Muddy water. Anyway, while we were doing that segment, it was 4:20, you know that means in Outloud Orlando, it's time to take your prep, time to take your Truvada, talk to your healthcare provider, and find out if it's a good way to protect yourself and others. I have a question. Now, you're not on prep, Lady Bear, but Cody, you are.
And I owe you one. I'm sorry.
You don't... they send, like, dude, my insurance is awesome. They send me, like, a 90-day supply, like, every 2 months.
I wish that they would.
I've got a stockpile of Truvada now. Sometimes I just dump all the pills on my bed and I roll around in them.
No, I went
to... I make it rain. I make the bottle of Truvada, rain on me.
I finally found a physician here in Orlando, finally. And I have to now get my kidneys checked every 6 months in order to stay on Truvada.
You
and
do
I have
it
to
every
get...
3 months. Isn't that the
kidneys?
Testing?
Kidneys? Kidneys check every 3 months?
I do a
liver function.
Every 3 months, I do like a full liver function metabolic
panel.
Every
3 months? My insurance won't cover that.
Well, here's my question, because I actually didn't know the answer to this. I thought I did, and then someone said maybe not so much. Someone told me, or rather, I'm asking the question. I know that it prevents infection from HIV, pre-exposure prophylaxis, Truvada, put out by Gilead. Sponsor us. Go for it. We've been like hyping your product for a while here now.
Yeah, give us some money. We need your money.
We need your money. I'll sell you my pickle for a nickel.
At least coffee so I can stop being late.
So here's the thing, though. The question was posed. Someone said, well, hey, if you go get tested, like if you wanted to be in a relationship with someone and be monogamous and maybe eventually get off of Truvada, the person said, I think that you need to be off of the medicine for like a month and then go get tested, because the question was, is it really suppressing the virus, or could you be HIV positive, but as long as you're taking the Truvada, it'll never show up? But if you stop taking the Truvada and you haven't had any new sexual interaction, does the HIV like start growing again?
It's not a suppressant.
That's
like a blockade.
It's an inhibitor.
It's a complete inhibitor. Well, because HIV needs to, the virus itself has a, and don't, please don't quote me on this. Please do not.
We're talking about science.
You guys are smart.
But
Out Loud Orlando.
I used to work at the interior.
Science and chemicals and stuff.
I used to work at the Interior AIDS Association up in Alaska. And so from what I learned back when I was like 16, 17, and learning about HIV is that the virus itself needs to be in a body for like 30, it has like 30 seconds of a life.
Right.
So so if you have like a blockade around your cells, which is essentially what Truvada does, it's not going to attach to anything. So, and that's like the important part.
I picked up the camera just because John, I know John's watching last week. Hey, John, what do you know about that? Does Truvada prevent HIV infection, or can it actually like... Does it just suppress it? Like, if you stop taking
it... No.
I know it doesn't cure it, but I'm saying, I guess I just want to know the answer to the question because it was posed, and I really had to, like, kind of think about it.
Look at what PrEP means. Pre-exposure.
Pre-exposure.
So, in other words, before you're exposed to it, it keeps you from getting it.
John, if you know the answer to this, give us a call, 407-646-2915. What?
It's funny. You're funny. I was LOLing.
Oh.
I can't LOL on a radio show.
Yeah, second thing I learned this week.
what did you learn this week?
Well, no, I'm sorry.
We love it.
I don't find that funny.
I'm very funny.
No, I don't find that funny at all. It's hilarious. I'm telepathic, and I should have known that that was going to happen.
Well, what did you learn this week?
Well, the second stupid thing I learned this week was that you went to stupid, stinky England. So tell us about it.
I went to stupid, stinky in London, first of all.
That's in England.
It's in England.
What?
No, I didn't go to America. No, I went to New York City.
I just wanted to specify exactly where I went.
Where else would you go in England?
Shut up, God. You're so annoying. There's like 9 farms in all of England. Like, I could have gone to any of those. Jeez. It could have been the English Chainsaw Massacre. Mm-hmm. It would have been very polite, and there would have been crumpets.
How did you end up over there? You posted. You're like, I'm going tomorrow.
On Monday, after class, I was walking to my friend's apartment who lives across the street from UCF, and my other friend, Michael, who's a flight attendant and I'm his travel companion, called me. He was like, get to your nearest airport in 2 hours. I was like, why? He's like, just get to your airport. We're going to London. And so I was like, okay. And I just like ran to my apartment. I packed up all my stuff and we went to London. And the next day I was in London.
Why can't I be a travel companion on somebody's...
I'm really sorry that I thought the joke I was going to say just because y'all been coming for me today, and I almost said a joke, but
I haven't come for you yet. Would you like me to come for you right now?
You know what? Okay, ask that question again.
Would you like me to come for you?
No, ask the question that you asked before.
Why can't you be a travel companion?
Why are you in a good mood?
No.
Why can't you be a travel
companion? Wow, she doesn't even... Never, it's done now. It's done now.
Okay, all right, we're done.
Why can't you be a travel companion?
Yeah. Oh, there's someone calling.
Because I don't want to have to buy 2 seats.
It's John calling. Pause the London story. We have things to discuss.
Did you not just hear what I said?
Hold on.
No.
All right. Speaker.
I wasn't paying.
I don't want to have to buy 2 seats on the airplane.
John.
Oh. Okay.
Hello, John.
Which mic is that on?
This one.
Just pull it down. Pull it down.
Shalom.
Hey, John, so I saw your thing on the Facebook Live feed. That was a funny joke, by the way, and it would have worked if you had remembered your freaking question the first time, but now we're like 2 minutes away from it, and it's done. It would have worked.
Yeah, you would have called me fat and said I had to buy 2 seats. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
You're in a good mood, but you're hell-bent on making everybody else in a bad mood.
Don't come for me. I didn't send for you.
I haven't come for you yet.
I didn't send for you. Don't come for me.
God.
Hey, John.
John, what do you want to say?
John, the question was... Pre-exposure prophylaxis, PrEP, Truvada, is if you take it, does it prevent being infected? Or could somebody be HIV positive, not know it, take Truvada, catch it, and then like they wouldn't know it in an HIV test until they stop taking it?
If they already have it.
I heard it. No, basically, Truvada is a combination of 2 meds of one.
I put the camera on the phone.
That attack the HIV virus. In the integrase and hit stage of when HIV, the virus itself, replicates in the blood or in the body. So it's only one part of the cocktail of HIV meds that suppresses the virus. But it also was found along the way to help prevent a new infection.
Mm-hmm.
Does that help?
It does help.
That
Thank
actually
you.
Answers our question 100%.
Hey, thanks, John. We got to keep going because we're running out of time. You know what we should do? We should get a set of like googly eyes and put them on the handset because I think it's pretty. we should make the phone another member of the show. So whenever we have to put the camera on the phone, it kind of just looks like it's talking to us like a Muppet of some sorts.
And it's wide, so it'll look like my behind.
Yeah.
Oh, did he hang up? Bye, John.
Bye, John.
Why to say goodbye?
Lady Barry, stop being so salty.
That was really...
Oh, yeah, I'm not salty because of anything you just said.
What did I say? I said
saying that I need 2 seats on an airplane.
Do you?
No.
Well, then it's not true, so you shouldn't be upset. That makes sense. Logically, correct?
What news do we have?
Wait, no, we're still talking about London.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you went to London, jolly old England. What news do you have?
I had a great time. Wait, I did want to talk about, because I had a gay experience in London. I went to their gay bars. London gay bars are weird.
I got banged up by a bunch of chimney sweeps.
I didn't. I didn't, but that would have been lovely.
You do.
Downright lovely.
If you put some dirt in his face, some soot, he would kind of look like a little British orphan. Like, please, sir.
Get out.
I'm willing to do whatever.
Get out of your own radio show. Get out of my house. So I went to London gay clubs, and London gay clubs are weird, y'all.
Are they very different?
They're very different. First of all, none of them can dance, and I want you to take a wild guess why.
They all are paralyzed and in wheelchairs.
Sure, but there's an utter lack of diversity. Number two. They don't have DJs in gay clubs in London. They play music videos. And they play the music from the music videos. And there's no trans...
There's no segue. So you,
there's
so you,
no,
you
exactly.
dance for
so
three and
dance,
a half minutes
and then
there's stop?
Silence for like a good 3 to 5 seconds. And it's real awkward. Ooh. Exactly. And then it goes to the next song. And then, it, God forbid, there's any part of the music video that has like a scene or like a
like
talking
scene. Like a dialogue
scene.
Or like
yeah,
a 1 minute
exactly.
like
they
set
play
up the
that. They play it. It's really weird. There's no remixes to songs. There was one Adele remix, but there was an accompanying music video.
No wonder English poppers are so much better than American poppers.
It
That's why they tried to outlaw
just,
them over there.
It is just odd. Like, it's just odd.
How many clubs did you go to?
I went to four. I went to four different clubs total. And they were
papas.
And they were fun. Don't get me wrong.
I want to feel my feet.
I had a really, really, really good time. But they were... It was just odd because I'm used to Orlando. Because we got, like, Dance the Queens.
Did you hit it? Did you find any
no,
any,
I was
any
only
English
there for,
loving?
No, I was only there for, like, a total of 28 hours. So I was not on a wiener hunt while I was there.
English McMuffin stuffing?
Oh, no, I was not. I was afraid of what I'd find.
I'm just cracking myself up today,
you
man.
You sure are. What else happened in London?
I got to, like, walk around and explore by myself. Which was really... Because my friend as a flight attendant, so he was working the flight, so he just needed to sleep. But I like
you felt safe the whole time, like you were
I,
in the air. Like,
no,
you,
no, I did not feel safe the whole time because I didn't have my phone, obviously, because I couldn't turn it on anyway.
Yeah.
So I was just walking around and I was lost the entire time. Right. But their
signs are in English.
I had such a great time walking around, and I found out that if you have a chip on your card, you can use it overseas as long as they take a chip card. And it'll just transfer the money automatically.
I learned that the hard way when I went to Argentina last November because they hadn't outfit their ATMs with that technology yet. So even though I had the cash on hand for my trip, no ATM would, they were like, that's not a real card. Like, so I had to put everything on the credit card or borrow from my buddy and then just do a massive cash withdrawal once I was back in the States.
Was,
so I'm glad that England has caught up to the chip technology because that was annoying as hell.
Well, of course, I think, like, European countries are generally, like, they're predominantly the only ones doing it. America hasn't even completely utilized the
not
chip.
All of them.
Which is why we don't know whether or not to swipe or use the chip.
This is true.
Which is ridiculous.
Well, I'm glad you're back. I saw some pictures, you know, so I'm glad you had a good time. And our worldly young, a little upstart Cody is back.
And now it's time for Learning with Lady Barry.
Move over, we need another seat!
Oh my god.
Somebody's about to learn how much of a wrath I can give.
She gonna learn you something, Justice. She gonna learn you today.
I'm gonna do it off the air. I have to use foul language to learn him.
I'm just trying to cheer you up.
Yeah, but calling me fat again?
I didn't call you fat. That was Alex. That wasn't Alex. That's something Alex would say. I have to, he's not here, so.
Okay.
So let me compensate the hatred.
You're like a Trump surrogate. And Alex is Trump right now.
Okay.
I just don't know what to say.
Alrighty. So what'd you learn this week, Lady Bear? What did you learn, Lady Bear? What did you learn?
Alright,
I learned you're ridiculous, first of all. You old, old man.
Nope, I'm actually technically a millennial. Found that out, confirmed that I count as a millennial. You don't.
That's... I do, actually.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Well, now it's not cool to be in this club.
Yeah, thought so. But this... Now, in just in case y'all can't see, but he's, like, trying to move me along while he's insulting me. He's like, come on, say something. I don't have any more fat jokes. Like, keep saying something.
I did not make a fat joke.
Ugh.
Anyway, what did you learn this week, Lady Mary Matthews?
I learned that I am easily catfished, because I was catfished again this week. And it was delightful.
I could have sworn DMX had a crush on me. What was wrong with that?
DMX? Why? Is it because I'm black?
No, me. I'm into DMX.
Oh, shut up.
I want DMX to, like, boom, snap, clap it, then punch me in the face and steal my VCR.
You're so ridiculous right now.
Why would he steal your VCR? Who has a VCR?
Yeah, you know.
what would he have to do with that?
Who are we to catfish and question the motives of phony DMX?
All right, so I
was
catfished.
Anyway.
I was catfished this week.
Go on.
And
please tell me about this.
I wish it had gone on a long time so she could get the show on MTV.
Yeah. I think they canceled that show, actually.
No, it's still going.
It's still going?
Yeah, it has a new season.
I should be on that show. Because this is like the third time I've been catfished. The first time I was catfished for 6 months, and I was young and stupid, and I was in love, and like the guy was attractive. So now I've just learned if a guy that's attractive starts to talk to me online, that it's not real.
video chat with him first.
Well, that's the thing. It only went on for about 3 days before I was like, hey, can you do me a favor? Can you send me a picture of you with my name on a piece of paper next to your face or something? And because it was like, he kept sending me pictures.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, these seem really old. They're kind of grainy. And I'm like, are these? And
looks like somebody took a picture of like a Polaroid.
Like a Xerox.
It looked like somebody took a picture of like a computer screen or they screenshotted something. I was like, this looks weird. So when I started to question it, then the person started getting angry, like super angry when they were all about me 5 seconds before that.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, you're catfishing me. Thanks. And then I blocked the person.
That's dark.
But yeah, it's super dark. The first time I was catfished though, this is a true story. The guy actually knew me. I rejected him.
Yeah.
On OkCupid, and I said, oh, unfortunately you're not my type, but we can be friends. I was nice about it because I'm fat and I'm somewhat attractive, so I have no...
You are attractive.
I have no play. I can't be like, oh, get out of my face, ugly person. I can't say that because then I don't want people to do it to me.
Right.
So I told the guy, I was like, you know what, look, we can be friends, but you're really not my type. And literally 3 days later, he created a profile with the kind of guy that I had described in my profile. And I was like, oh my God, this is like the perfect guy for me. And then 6 months later, Google Image came out and I learned this from Catfish.
That's a lot of spite to hold on to.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
6 months.
I've recently met some people that have told me some things that they've done to other people. Like, I don't know if I want to talk about this. I met someone that like went so far as to like for like 3 or 4 months, like, use someone that had rejected him, like use their pictures to like message other people and just like send out their private pictures and things like that, just to kind of, you know, throw their first and last name out there saying, I'll do this, I'll do that, and then send pictures of that person. Like, I kind of was like, that's kind of like a major red flag to be like, okay, cool, remind me not to get close to you or ever send you anything personal of that nature, because it was just, I don't know, it kind of put a bad taste in my mouth.
Mm-hmm. Well, this person tried to steal my identity as well.
Which happens a lot these days.
This person tried to steal my identity.
What?
Yeah, it was good times. Like, my question is, like, what's your first instinct? What is the first thing somebody does makes you think that they're not real?
When they message me on Grindr and they go, hey, what's up, stud? My battery is dying really quick.
And they haven't
I just
been
got
online.
On this app.
My favorite is when you message him. That was quick.
when like a hot guy messages
hey,
you.
Hey, man, that was quick.
When a hot guy messages you and he's like 2,400 miles away, and you're like, how did you see me in Botswana?
Exactly.
I'm from Swahili. Nice to meet you.
The worst
Swahili is a language.
The worst thing is when they sucker you in and you actually think you're having a chat, and then like maybe 3 or 4 messages in there, you're like, hey, so I just finished working out at the gym and now I'm really super horny and ripped and I'm about to do a cam show. You want to help me join and then I can come over and hang out with you later? And it's like, got me again, Grindr robot, damn!
What's my least favorite is now they're not even robots. Now that's like actually them. It may not actually be them, but it's definitely, it's an actual person you're talking to now. So they have like, and I'm just like,
answer subjectively.
Exactly, which is what got me, because this person was like normal. And they were normal for like a week. I was like, oh, this is awesome. But as soon as I caught it, this is how I caught it. He's in the army.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, hey, I'm sending this package to my house. Can you go and retrieve it for me?
No. I've been in airports. I know not to pick up weird packages.
And like,
my cousin is a wealthy Nigerian prince. Would you cash this check for him?
Exactly. And I was like,
yes, I will.
I said, okay, give me your address. I said, okay, give me your address and I'll go see your house.
I defended clients when I was at the public defender's office doing felony cases. I actually had 2 cases that came across my desk where 2 people legitimately thought it was real. And so when they went to go cash the check, it counted as like fraudulent check behavior, false identification, that type of thing. And they literally were sitting in jail and like, I just don't understand. I was like, and so maybe this was like 2007, 2008. I'm sitting there going like, how did you not realize? And some people just did not.
Some people are oblivious
truly,
too.
Yeah, they didn't get
it. And like when I was younger, I was oblivious, not to that kind of stuff, but when it comes to dating and like online catfishing, I was completely oblivious to it.
Yeah.
But I guess, you know, you live and you learn.
Cody, can you do some news? Thank you very much, Lady Barry Matthews. Thank you for teaching us to not be catfished by Grindr profiles.
I am your catfish.
We don't really have an outro to your bit. I just kind of hit pause and just stop it.
Oh, what a segue. It's just like being back in London clubs.
Yeah, there. It's time for your next song. Grab your best mate and have a jolly jing.
I hate that because that's really accurate. Like, that's how they talk.
All right, we got to do some news really quick, and then I want to talk about I want to talk about the homosexual afterlife, and I want to talk about gay porn history 101. So let's do some news with Cody, Dollar Menu Daddy Issues.
Okay, if any of these are boring, I'm throwing them away. Okay. I haven't looked through them yet.
Thank you for being prepared.
Yeah, you're welcome. So Freddie Mercury is being honored with his own shooting star leaping through the sky. That's in quotes, by the way. Shooting star leaping through the sky, end mm-hmm. quote. He's being designated his own, very own asteroid to mark the music legend's 70th birthday. The lead singer of Queen became the highest profile victim of the AIDS crisis in 1991. Mm-hmm. And when he died from AIDS-related bronchial pneumonia at age 45, he had been diagnosed with HIV positive several years earlier.
Look! Up in the sky! What's that sailing through the heavenly asteroid bodies? Why, it's Freddie Mercury!
Okay. That's accurate. That's probably what he would
say.
There's
like a giant handlebar mustache on the front of the asteroid just like soaring through the heavens.
That would be a lot of tax dollars.
All right, next story.
Oh, okay. He would have turned 70 this week, by the way. Love you, Freddie.
It's a good birthday gift.
Oh, yeah.
You would have been 70. Now you're an asteroid.
I'm done. So, Orlando...
What do you want for your 70th birthday, Cody?
For my 70th birthday?
Yeah, you're not going to make it to 70.
I'm not. I'm going to OD long before then. Long.
Bad batch of poppers.
I don't know. I don't do poppers. I don't know how they work, and I also think that they smell weird. Anyway, after the Pulse nightclub shooting, the president of the Orlando Quilting Guild put out a call on social media for fabric and supplies. It was part of the Quilts for Pulse project, and her plan was for the guild to assemble 120 quilts to give to the victims of the shooting and their families.
I love that it's a guild, not like a club or like a society.
It's a guild. I feel like I'm in World of Warcraft, but with blankets.
The Quilting Guild is here!
They have received a bigger response than she ever dreamed, apparently. The group has over 1,000 packages from 20 countries. They have enough supplies to make over 1,000 quilts, which is way more than 120. That's like 10% of what they got. That's great. Lipinski says that there's enough for everyone involved, first responders, hospital workers, family members, to receive Pulse-inspired quilts. Most of them are made in patterns of hearts. She also received completed quilts, many of which with custom designs. Wow, that's really awesome.
Everyone does their own little thing, you know? I mean, I personally don't quilt and don't really know anyone that quilted since my 94-year-old grandmother passed away, but I mean... So,
can I scrap this story and change it for something more relevant to our local community?
Sure.
Okay, Giselle Barbie Royale just won Miss Continental.
She did?
Yeah, so we just brought the crown home to Orlando.
We got some good hits.
Sorry, the story that he chose was about pageants, and I just decided that this pageant story was much more...
Can I read the headline? The headline is that the girl that won Miss Missouri is going to compete in Miss America, and she's an open lesbian. So there's a potential that if she won, it should be the first openly lesbian Miss America pageant winner. So just kind of like, hey, you know, look at me. I'm a pageant winner, and I'm also, you know, really good at carpentry, possibly.
Okay, well, that works. All right. My parents are lesbians, and neither of them do carpentry. But they're both Dixie Tix Brodies.
Yeah,
so.
they're both
and
good.
And they like carpets.
Yeah. Listen, you stole my joke and we made it a second time, so it's not going to be funny if I make it a third time.
But going back, yes, Giselle Barbie Royale just brought home the crown to Orlando.
That's great.
Yay!
Orlando has a lot of titles. Sassy is one title. Freckles is one title. Roxy is one title.
Freckles is so cute. He's so cute. I could just... He's scrumptious.
He's a really good guy.
I know.
So what else did you learn this week?
Shut up. Oh, God, I hate you. Let's see. Okay. If you do believe in the afterlife, do you believe in the afterlife?
Believe in incarnation.
Okay, who are you going to call? There's a new...
Ghostbusters.
There's a new... Well, not quite. There's a new web series.
Your dad.
A gaggle of gay paranormal investigators from Columbus, Ohio. Hello to Columbus, Ohio.
Same.
They have joined together for a new series called Queer Ghost Hunters, where they have a simple mission. They want to locate the spirits of gay ghosts and assist them in coming out in the afterlife. So they're trying to go track down people that were gay and had to hide it and, like, convince them to come out of the closet.
I cannot roll my eyes that far back.
Oh,
what
man.
Is going on with this? Oh, what channel is this on? Logo?
It's a web series.
Of course it's a web series. Where would they get funding on a channel for
this? Let me say this. The preview is pretty amazing, and please. I think I honestly truly think with all of our powers,
can we reenact that right now?
I think that
me, Cody,
I think that we need to try and get a hold of these people, and like I want them to call in and do an interview because the series doesn't launch till the end of this month. I think we better get them now before they become like really famous. So they show up with their paranormal equipment, with lavender cams that pick up like ethereal energy. They have rainbow. They bring rainbow flags. They bring rainbow flags to kind of wave around to let the spirits what? Know it's okay. Here's the thing. In the preview, she says we're going to find the people that were lost and the places where gay people most likely resided. There we would be more likely to find gay spirits. So they're going to look at old abandoned theaters, old insane asylums, empty prisons where people were arrested for the crime of sodomy, insane asylums where people were committed for being gay, abandoned bathhouses, and other creepy places where one might expect to cross a homosexual spirit.
We're going to reenact the first episode.
Cody,
are you here?
Ooh, get out of my bathhouse.
Your mom and your dad are here, ooh, and they just want to say something.
Get out.
Knock once if you think that Lady Barry Matthews is attractive. That's it. That's a gay spirit.
Oh, God, I'm being outed.
Your mom and dad said it's okay. Go into the light, Caroline.
It's me, Freddy.
Okay.
They actually had that as one. So they're holding like the little, wand, like the little, I guess, whatever measures paranormal activity. And they're asking yes or no questions. And if they cross, like if the streams, like if the two metal rods cross.
Of course.
They're saying that like it's a yes. So while they're in there, they're looking. So they would look up old prison files and go, well, this was a guy that was arrested and murdered in this prison, arrested in, 1920 for the crime of sodomy. So he may have been a homosexual. Let's try and talk to him. And then when they try to talk to the spirits, they have like different people. It's mainly lesbians and a couple of gay guys, and they're I guess that's gay people. Gay people. They're running around, and so they're actually asking the spirit, are you attracted to this guy or are you attracted to this guy?
I once kind of wrote like the beginning of a screenplay when I was really drunk on my phone about a girl who can talk to gay ghosts.
Yeah.
But it was a comedy, not real life.
You can find out more at queerghosthunters.com, and I'm going to do everything in my power to have them call into the show.
I hope they're Southern.
We will conduct it's very, it's like the lesbians are the ones steering this ship. Like it's very obvious. Like these lesbians were walking around, it's a cemetery, and saying, that sounds like a lesbian name. And then they would, like, talk to the particular grave and go, I knew a lesbian with that same name. You might be one, too.
I've met a lot of Barbaras in my life. I met a lot of lesbian Barbaras.
Or, like, they would look and say, well, you died 45 without a husband and without children. What does that really mean?
That you just didn't want to have everything torn up. That you
were a really successful cat lady.
That you wanted it all intact when you died.
Very nice. Good job. Very nice. Good
no
job.
No rejuvenation for you.
Yeah. Before I get to my gay porn history story, I went up to Jacksonville this weekend with my parents. I spent my Labor Day weekend actually laboring and took part in, renovating the condominium that I lived in during law school. Because, so I haven't been back up to Jacksonville kind of actively for like 7 or 8 years. Went back for a concert one time with a friend. So it was really weird to kind of go back. Do you have that feeling when you go back to the place you used to live and you automatically kind of do that compare and contrast? Because for me, it's a vastly different era. Like, I remember living in that place, but I remember I used to be very antisocial because I didn't have, until the last year of law school, I didn't come out. I didn't, my first boyfriend wasn't a part of my life. So to me, that was my sanctuary, was doing stuff by myself. I didn't want to socialize with the other people in law school. And so it was good to be back there and good to, work with my parents. So I was just trying to think. The thing that really bothered me, though, is that I walked in and immediately got really hella jealous because I lived in a really great place when I was in law school. And I was kind of like, man, why can't I live in this great a place here in Orlando downtown? Because, it's not going to transfer. So I was trying to think of the best and worst places that I had ever lived. What about you, Lady Barry? When you think back, like, what was the best and the worst place you ever lived?
It was the same place. No, to be honest. I lived in the middle of downtown Houston.
Mm-hmm.
It was the first time I ever lived by myself. It was after I did my first college program at Disney here in Orlando. And I had my own place, and I was, like, doing good. And then I didn't have a car, but the public transportation was way better up there.
The bus, again.
The bus, yes. But what happened was, is I had two jobs. I lost one of them because I couldn't get there on the bus.
Yeah.
And so I couldn't pay my bills, so my lights got turned off, and I was like, I had to borrow electricity from my neighbor, because I lived in like an efficiency building behind a duplex.
Yeah.
And it was gorgeous. The only thing is that I had an orange electrical cord going across the courtyard into my place. That way I can cook.
Were you stealing it, or they gave you permission?
No, they gave it to me.
They were.
Wow. Yeah, they were nice.
That's really nice.
They're like, because they noticed, they're like, hey, we noticed you don't have any power. I was like, yeah, I can't pay my bills. And they're like, it was around Christmas, so they gave me an extension cord.
That's so
nice. They're like, here, plug your stuff in. And it was freezing, too. And they were really nice people, but I had to move out because I couldn't live there anymore.
Right.
So it was like the best and the worst time I've ever had.
It was the best of places. It was the worst of places. What about you? I feel like you've been homeless at one point in your life. Haven't you been homeless before?
I really hate that you said that, but yeah. I was. I lived in my Pontiac for a few months when I first moved to Florida.
Jewel made it work. Why can't you?
I had a really hard time when I first moved here. I couldn't find a job worth anything.
To Florida? Or?
Yeah, when I first moved to Florida, I had a really hard time. Because I ran away from home, and my parents, like, and I called my parents and was like, okay, I'm ready to come back now. I don't have any money left. They're like, no. you made your bed, you can sleep in it.
You ran away, you stay away, boy.
So I slept in my Pontiac in the front seat because my back seat was filled with all my stuff. The worst home I've ever lived in, two houses after that, I moved into a office that was converted into a bedroom.
Yeah.
And the setup was literally bed, desk chair, desk, and they were all touching. And it was like $300 a month, but I had six other roommates in a two-bedroom household. Oh. And this guy would beat up his girlfriend every day, and I was always trying to step in, but obviously I'm like 2 foot nothing, and obviously I'm not gonna, there's nothing that I could have done that other than call the police, which I did like numerous times. There were always cops at this house, and it was just upsetting, and yeah, it was just really frustrating.
Yeah.
I had a really hard time when I first moved to Florida.
And how long have you lived here?
I've lived in Florida for 5 years now, and
I've just now
got my life together. The best place I've ever lived ever is probably Alaska. When I was growing up, like, I had a really nice house when I first moved to Alaska. It was like two stories, beautiful. We had like a half a mile long driveway.
Yeah, but it's in Alaska.
Yeah, but it was fun. I had a rad time when I was like a kid. It was like when I was a teenager that I hated Alaska because I couldn't do anything.
So I was working with my parents, doing, you know, dusting off fan blades, painting walls, helping, you know, tear up carpet, all this stuff, you know, because I legitimately wanted to help them, you know, get this place in a condition that we can finally sell it, because I got it before the housing market fell out and then been renting it out for the last several years. And, you know, working with your parents, like, I know I'm so grateful now. I'm so grateful now that I'm closer, you know, with my parents, that we have a great relationship and it's an open and honest relationship. But I'm starting to have that feeling of like not wanting to be like too close to my parents, because I was sharing a hotel room with them, like when we weren't working at the condo, and neither one of my parents have like any shame. When it's like time to get out of work clothes, like I'm sitting there watching television and all of a sudden 65-year-old parents are just like getting naked, changing clothes. I'm just like,
nope.
Like, no, mom, stop it. Like, dad, stop. It's just, I feel like I'm being traumatized later in life. And in a way, I kind of wish they were still hating on me for being homosexual, because I don't want to be that close to my parents that they feel comfortable like dropping trowel in front of me. Like, that's just, there needs to be like a warning system or like a code word or something.
Just think of the opposite, though. Just think of the opposite. Just not being close to your parents at all. Yeah.
Oh, okay, way to make the more you know. Thank you for that after school special.
This is dark.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Lady Barry and Matthews. Hey, if Gay Porn History 101 was a class, would you take it?
Absolutely, in a heartbeat. I'd teach it.
What?
I hate you, Kadeem. I'm saying that on live air.
What do you do? What happened?
He said I look like the S word on the comments, and I look real good.
Why would you come at my friend? Why would you come at the radio show, you little freaking troll? I almost cursed him.
He's like my best friend.
Oh, he is? Yes. Oh. Thank God you said that before I decided to defend your honor and call a troll out. Man,
so
geez.
Tell us about gay radio. You're a
troll? You called me fat three
history.
Times.
That is the difference.
Oh, okay.
You're here and you're not fat. You're just... plump.
You're just here.
Tell us about porn history. What else did you learn this week?
I'm done.
I'm so done with you. I'm so...
You got, like, 2 minutes to wrap up the story.
DJ Leah's in there. How you doing, DJ Leah?
She's doing good. She's looking fresh.
She always looks good.
See, we're really going to be...
skin.
We're really going to be
like, taking prenatal vitamins. She don't even need them.
Are you pregnant?
No, she just has glowing skin.
Who takes prenatal vitamins just to look good?
Girls do to grow their hair and nails out and get their skin a good luster. Yes.
Is that going to help me? If I take prenatal vitamins, no, will I get a little thicker on top of the
head? No, you need some Rogaine. You need some hope and some God.
You need prayer.
You need the Lord.
So one of the first gay adult film companies was Falcon Entertainment. It was founded by Chuck Holmes in 1971, because before that point, you know, adult gay entertainment was basically like poor quality, shot on a camcorder, bad editing, bad lighting, really bad storylines, not really showing us what we wanted to see, showing us plenty of stuff we didn't want to see. And so there's a new documentary that came out that's been making the rounds at the major gay film festivals called Seed Money. And Seed Money.
What a great title.
But go on. I'm intrigued.
Seed Money. The preview was actually pretty cool. That's why I'm bringing it up. Because I was like, you know what? I would watch that. Because it was called Seed Money. The Chuck Holmes story looks at the birth of Falcon Studios amidst the rise of anti-gay laws. And then looked at how the guy, Chuck Holmes, who founded it, was literally making like bank. Like millions and millions and millions of dollars. Because he was feeding a need that had no other outlet. So people were like going bomb crazy buying VCRs and buying VHS tapes. We're talking like the multimedia. Well, he's one of the first ones to really kind of look at and not, I'm gonna say normalize, but to mainstream offer adult film for homosexuals. And he went on to, he was a very philanthropic guy. He went on to use a lot of his money to, you know, provide for charities. His money is what helped build such organizations like the Human Rights Campaign, the LGBT Victory Fund, because he made just massive, large donations. So even though he died from liver failure as a complication of AIDS in 2000, this is, you know, looking at the adult film industry as part of sexuality in society, you know, the normalization of being gay and looking at, hey, what do gay men want? And he was one of kind of the first pioneers to kind of really take it and shove it down our throats and in and out. So it was called Seed Money.
On Netflix next Tuesday.
I mean, I would actually be interested to watch it just because it would kind of, I don't want to watch the 1970s era film because that doesn't really, you know, do it for me just because it's...
I think I identify with that title a lot. Like, I could be called Seed Money.
Seed
Money. I hope your parents are listening.
I hope my parents are not listening. I hope my parents are not listening at all.
Oh, yeah. Look, your mom just... I'm just
very nice.
Literally, Donna. Cody, what did you just say?
Hello, Seed Money.
That is not what she sounds like. She literally would just go, Cody, go away right now.
Going around the circle, thank you very much for coming in, you guys, today. A good show. I love both of you very much. Lady Bear, you know I'm joking. Cody, thank you for coming in. What do you have going on this week?
Tomorrow, there's the Katana Party. That's the Queen of the Night, and I'm working the door. And I'm going to be dressed as Misty from Pokemon since I missed the Pokemon Party. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to look raw cute.
If you want to, you should get a little tip jar that says Seed Money and just put it in tip the door guy.
I am disgusted with myself now. Thank you.
Lady Bear, what do you got going on this week?
I'm just working.
Yeah, work. Very good. Thank you for coming in today. Appreciate
no problem.
That's it for today's special edition of Outlaw Orlando, the Humble Happy Hour. Always remember, we are one human family, sometimes dysfunctional, but still a family. So until next time, always swing first, fight good fights, and let justice roll. Until next time, I wish you enough.
Give me my seatbelt extender.
I'm Justice, and I love you.
What did you learn this week?
And there's nothing you can do about it. Shut up!
You are gay.
I'm ruined on the air. I'm ruined in this.
How are you ruined on the air? How are you ruined on the air?
You made me look like an idiot.
What goes in and out of my mouth is my own responsibility, and I do who I please, and I please who I do. Okay? Okay.
Gorgeous!
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 Fabulous! Give that 1, 2, 3.
Gorgeous!
This is fabulous. I absolutely love it.
Didn't go to sleep, went to court, and now I'm very, very legal.
Yay!
That was the gayest arms I've ever seen to express that.
Now I'm very, very legal.
Jeez.
It's a talk and entertainment show. I host it. I wanted to be entertaining to all people, gay, straight, young, old. I happen to be gay. You know, I don't want to do a radio show where it's us versus them mentality. We're one human family.
And the more you tout yourself around town as the happy homo, I mean, that's just great. That's f***ing great. I hate the word homo. I can't stand it. If someone calls someone gay, it's one thing. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate that show. I hate everything about it.
Can you get over the friggin' name of the pig and pat me in the back for matching the funds?
No. Because
we're matching the funds.
No.
It's Out Loud Orlando, the Homo Happy
Hour,
raising money for a good cause.
Because
get over it.
You
it's
could
such
not,
a good idea.
No. No, it's not.
It.
No, it's not.
You're
why?
You're passionate about it.
You're
passionate about AIDS education because you hate AIDS pig. You would buy a shirt that says, I hate the AIDS pig.
No.
Yes, you would.
Goddess warrior Princess Xena style.
It's,
It's all food. Out Loud Orlando, ruining lives all across America.
On a daily basis.
Got any poppers?
No. I'm not saying that.
I'm like lobbing up beach balls for you to like come back with, you know, your sniper rifle of ha-ha.
I've been dating the same guy.
Oh, that just came
out. Wait, what?
Look around you. Everything the light touches is gay.
Out Loud Orlando, the homo happy hour.
Of course.